This is podtech.net. I'm Catherine Girardeau at Java One in San Francisco's Moscone Center. In a general session, Senior VP of Oracle Server Technologies Development, Thomas Kurian, outlined a convergence of trends in enterprise computing. In part two of the podcast, you'll hear explanation and demos of SOA 2.0, or service-oriented architecture. Here's Thomas Kurian.
So we talked about how you can build business applications and business logic using a much simpler programming paradigm. As you get online services and enterprise applications built out, the second piece you need is for these services to communicate with each other. And here, we believe that service-oriented architecture and some new technologies and standards that are coming in is evolving rapidly into a new generation of SOA that makes it a lot easier to tie services or bind them together. So what are the pieces? So first and foremost, there's something we call a service fabric. So a service fabric provides a service neutral, transport independent, protocol independent infrastructure that allows services, whether they are from enterprise applications, legacy systems, online systems, to be declaratively wired together. Okay, so the service fabric at Oracle, we're building our service fabric on top of the Spring framework, because we think characteristics that it has, like dependency injection, et cetera, provide a very flexible infrastructure for this service fabric. So the service fabric basically provides an infrastructure through which you can declaratively tie and declaratively wire together services and allow them to communicate with each other. Now, this service fabric also has the ability to integrate in various kinds of service engines. So service engines provide various facilities to this fabric. So as an example, you can have routing services that says that I've got one service that wants to talk to three or four other services. It handles the routing and communication from this service to other systems. You can have transformations. So you can map data from one system's data format or one service's data format to another service's data format. You can add a business rule. A business rule allows a business executive or a business user to change how a specific service may send data to another one, or a specific workflow might be executed. So the combination of this intelligent infrastructure called a service fabric, the declarative specification using metadata that describes how services bind to each other, we call that service component architecture, and it's an effort that Oracle and a variety of other people in the industry are working on, and the prepackaged services like routing, transformation, and rules constitutes the next generation of enterprise service buses, or ESBs. Now, as the services communicate with each other, you want to add orchestration to it. Orchestration basically constitutes business processes or steps that you want to execute as a service pushes data to other services. So here, you know that we have one of the industry's leading business process engines, and one of the few that supports BPEL, Business Process Execution Language, the industry standard for business process orchestration or service composition natively. So BPEL allows you to coordinate a variety of different services and orchestrate them into a business process. We've also added human workflow to it. So now when you've got a business process that's sending messages from one system and coordinating a process, you can also add human workflow. You can send documents for approval to a person up your organization chain. You can add document routing and delivery processes, all of them built using standard BPEL. So you're still defining even your human workflow using standard BPEL, and you're monitoring the same execution engine. Now, as you execute processes, there's a new kind of infrastructure emerging around business events. Now, business events, traditionally, when you think about SOA, you think about services calling each other, so request-reply kind of behavior. Business events are asynchronous. So examples of business events. You're in the manufacturing business, the pharmaceutical business, the logistics or transportation business, and you're tracking container shipments around the world with RFID tags. And all of a sudden, a pallet doesn't get somewhere or a container doesn't get there on time. You receive an alert or an event. You're in the stock exchange business. Somebody puts a stock out for sale, and you receive an alert saying, okay, so there's a bunch of stocks that are available for sale. Do you want to buy or sell? John was talking about, you know, the cars that you drive on this racetrack. As you pass sensors, those sensors are raising events. So events basically are asynchronous actions to which you need to respond. And we're making event-driven infrastructure, first-class citizen of the service fabric, so you can not only do request-reply kind of behavior, but also event-driven behavior. So what kinds of things can you do? You receive an alert. You can have publish-subscribe behavior, so an event can be raised and multiple consumers can consume it. You can add complex event processing, so things like correlating that event to other events that are occurring in your enterprise. You can do business activity monitoring. So you can monitor the impact that that event has on certain key performance indicators in your business. Now, you now have this entire operational infrastructure deployed, and you want to run it in an operational environment. There are two important elements you need. First of all, enforcing security, and second, management. So on the security side, there are three important standards we feel you should know about. First of all, WS Security. WS Security provides a transport-independent and protocol-independent mechanism to specify how communication between services can be encrypted. So it allows you to basically add SOAP headers that then encrypt communication from one service to another. Now, as the services communicate with each other, a service needs to assert identity and authorization privileges from itself to the other service it's communicating with. And so you need an assertion format through which you propagate this security assertion. And this is where security assertion markup language comes in, or SAML, which we really believe gives you a very easy, flexible way to specify security assertions in an XML schema. Now, third, you know, while SAML is getting a lot of momentum, there are also various kinds of identification tokens or assertion formats that are prevalent today. So for example, if you're in the Microsoft world, you'll use Kerberos. If you're in the mainframe world, there are various kinds of protocols and assertion formats. In the web world, for example, there's XACML. So how do you get services to communicate with each other and understand each other's assertions if one understands Kerberos and the other one talks SAML? So this is where WS Trust comes in. WS Trust allows services to communicate with each other, even if they have different understandings of assertion formats, by working through a trusted intermediary that intermediates the communication between these services. So these three standards are built into our service fabric and provides you the ability to enforce in an operational environment security policies and services. And lastly, the management element. So for managing services, you need basically two things. First is the ability to define policies on services. So policies could be an availability policy that says the service needs to be up 99.99% of the time. It could be a security policy that says a service needs strong authentication or SSL-based authentication. It may be a performance policy, means it has to respond within a certain period of time. So we provide a WS policy implementation that allows you to specify in an operational environment various kinds of policies on services, and then a web services manager that allows you to monitor how the infrastructure is operating in compliance with these policies. So how do users access these really sophisticated business applications and back-end services? So this is where we think the convergence of Java Server Faces and Ajax Web 2.0 technologies promises to drastically both simplify as well as significantly improve the user experience when they access these online services. So first thing we wanted to solve was to allow application programmers to very quickly and easily build UIs by using a component-oriented model. So we give you a palette of components called Java Server Faces components. They are standard JSF components. And as a user or a developer, you don't have to write a lot of code to build a UI. You simply select a component and then customize its properties and event handlers. Now, to bind this user interface to back-end services. So back-end services could be built using EJB2.1 or EJB3. They could be a Beeple process that's sending an alert or notification into the UI. They could be data coming out of a database against which you want to build a chart. They could be even a portlet coming from an online service like Yahoo. So we standardize something called data binding, which provides a unified metaphor or abstraction through which the UI ties into these back-end services. The second thing we wanted to do was to provide dynamism, interactivity to the user interface. So AJAX allows you to basically get an XML-oriented structure on the client, meaning the user interface, and the model for the user interface is defined in an XML DOM, and you write JavaScript on the client to customize and get behavior on the client side against this DOM. And many developers have told us that they don't know JavaScript or they're not experts in JavaScript. So what we've done is we've taken our Java Server Faces components and enhanced them to support AJAX. So we've added interactive behavior to standard Java Server Faces components. So as a developer, you still reuse and build UIs using Java Server Faces components, you deal with properties and event handlers, and you get real-time, dynamic, changeable, interactive behavior on the client for your users. If you want, as a developer, to customize that on the client using JavaScript, you certainly can extend the component on the client side with custom JavaScript as well. The same UIs built using Java Server Faces also can work on mobile devices. So you've got Pocket PCs, if you've got Palms, if you've got Java phones, if you've got any kind of mobile device, you build your user interface logic once using this component model, and we provide render kits to take this user interface to all of the mobile devices that you want to work against. Now, as we added this interactivity to the client, users asked us, hey, I'd really like to get real-time communication or collaboration directly from the client. So I'm in a shopping application and about to enter checkout. What I'd like to do is to call the customer service rep to make sure that they have the product in stock. So rather than have to go to a separate client in order to invoke the customer service rep, I'd like to bring up an instant messenger or an online voice over IP-based call to the customer service rep. And so we've integrated voice over IP technology and SIP into our middleware stack to bring and further extend the kind of multi-channel capabilities that we support from a client point of view. And lastly, we integrate all of these kinds of behaviors into a unified user experience through something we call a workplace. So it gives you the ability to add online documents, to share content, to aggregate content from various sources using portlets, to bind in services, and you get this really great collaborative, dynamic user interface. So a year ago, we said we'd give Java Server Faces technology to the open source community, and we contributed a very large palette of Java Server Faces component to the Apache MyFaces project. And we are in discussions with the open source community to contribute what we just showed you, the AJAX technology, and the next version of our open source Java Server Faces components. And we're in discussions with a number of open source organizations to give you that. So yet again, giving it back to the community so that you guys can build great looking applications. Now, so let's just close by talking about how you can get started with all of this stuff. As we said, we see a new application platform emerging that combines the strength and power of Java Enterprise Edition 5, Java Persistence API, SOA, and Web 2.0 into a unified platform. Over this last year, we've made a number of contributions off this technology. Not only have we been building this, but we've contributed to a number of open source efforts. We've made our database free for all of those developers who want to build against a free database from Oracle. We've made JDeveloper free. We've contributed to the Eclipse DALI project for EJB3. We've contributed to the Eclipse project for business process modeling. We're also contributing a Java Server Faces design time effort to Eclipse. We've made contributions to the Spring project and to a number of other open source efforts. If you're a developer and you want to learn about this technology, you can go to our booths, You can talk to our experts. You can attend the various sessions here at this amazing show and learn about this technology. As you leave this session, I want you to pick up a CD. The CD has all of the software that we showed you on it. And you can pick it up either as you leave the session or go to the Oracle booth in the campground or pavilion, and you can get this technology free of charge. Additionally, we also are launching a new series. Now, a year ago, we felt that there were a lot of new cool technologies coming along in J2E, and we launched a program called Mastering J2E. Developers, meaning our developers, talking to you developers. Today, 200,000 subscribers and 500,000 developers around the world learn about this technology through Oracle. We're launching a new program around SOA. It's called Mastering SOA, 7 Steps to SOA Success, again, brought to you from our developers to you, our developer community. So how do you get started with this? You go to Oracle Technology Network, and you can both get access to the software, read about the technology, and get seminars and various other information online. But lastly, in the spirit of Java 1 and keeping you up all night, we also are bringing you Mission Impossible 3, free for all of those who want to go and see, you know, Tom Cruise in his latest movie. How do you go to that? You fill out this form, a simple survey, just about 5 or 10 questions. You can get that from the Oracle booth, and you get free attendance. So as you know, we at Oracle are really excited about this new application paradigm that's emerging, bringing together all of these technologies. And we've been working to build this technology. Today, 30,000 customers in 147 countries around the world build mission-critical applications using our middleware and tools. We want every single one of you application developers to try this. All my engineers are working hard to bring you the best technology. And enjoy the show and try the software. Thank you very much.